I want to thank Gary and Angela and Tammy and Deary. Yeah, for the music ministry, right? We're getting gooder and gooder. Praise the Lord. God is showing us and teaching us how to work the music ministry. Thank God for the choir, right? We really enjoyed the choir, and so we're continually praying for our music ministry here, praying for our children's ministry here, praying for our youth ministry. And we need a senior ministry. We minister to old folks. What do y'all think? Sir? I know. Not yet. So praise the Lord. Anybody enjoying the weather? It feels like springtime out today. Frankie was telling me that. Better hold on to that one though, because it's going to change in maybe next week. I was telling him that last week I was just grateful for indoor plumbing. You know, right? I know that. I'm thirsty, y'all. Sorry. So let's go ahead and get into the Word. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And so let's pray over the Word first here. Father, I thank you as always, Lord. And I know I say that a lot, but I just truly mean that. I thank you for the opportunity to get to preach and teach and share what you've put on my heart this week. And Father, I ask you to bless this time together. Bless the Word. You said it would go forth and it would minister and would not return void, and it would do what it was supposed to do. And Lord, we know this living Word, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing bone and marrow. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you for the life-giving Word of God that you've given us. So Father, I ask this morning that you'll help me through this little time, that you'll open up the hearts and spirits and minds of the people that will receive your Word, and we'll all be blessed. We'll all be drawn closer to you, and we all be more Christ-like than when we walked in those doors. And we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I'm in the New King James Version. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and separated to the gospel of God. Now, I've got 3 points I want to draw out of this one little small scripture. And the first one is, we're going to talk a little bit about bondservant, and then we're going to talk about being an apostle, Paul being apostle, and then we're going to talk about what it means to be separated to the gospel of God. So first of all, Paul, the writer of this letter of Romans, says that he is a bondservant to Christ Jesus. Now, right away, when you're studying this, you have to think, okay, Paul's telling us he's a bondservant of Christ Jesus. So we've got to, okay, is this man a madman? Is he a lunatic? Is he a crazy guy? Because really, Jesus had died like 20-something years ago. So here's Paul saying, this man now is talking to me. He's met me. And they had historical documents where, Pilate had killed Jesus back in the day. But now Paul's saying, this man is talking to me. I've met this man. Paul's saying, now, this man is my master. He's saying, I'm now his servant. I'm his slave. So we have to look at, okay, the next 16 chapters in the book of Romans, right? We have to think, well, can we trust this? Is this the 16 chapters of a delusional man or maybe a madman? Really, if you look at it face value, that's something that we all must decide in our life. But I can tell you what the Word of God says. Paul says in his own testimony, clearly, that he was not a crazy man. He was not a madman. Paul says in his own words that he was bought and owned and ruled by his Lord, who had died on the cross and rose again in 3 days. Paul said he was bought and he was owned. See, that's really what bond servant really means. That's what it implies, that a person has been bought and is now he's owned. And last week we talked about being redeemed. So if you want to turn with me, or if you just want to jot notes real quick, because I'm going to fly through this. So 1 Corinthians 7:23, if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 7:23 is our memory verse for the day. Anybody memorizing the memory verses? I'd encourage you to do that as we go through. Everybody will start catching on. It says 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, You, everybody say you. No, me. You. No, just kidding. The Bible says you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. So here's Paul saying, you know, we're bought with a price. In other words, are you ready? In other words, Christians are slaves of Christ. Because we have been bought with a price. He died for us. Christ owns us now. Now hear me clearly. Pride does not like that kind of talk. Ego, arrogance, rebellion, defiance. It doesn't like that kind of talk. See, when you talk about being owned or bought, or you're a slave now and you have a master, see, the flesh raises its ugly head because it doesn't like those kind of words. Now, see, some folks really struggle with the lordship of Christ. Their pride doesn't like to bow down and submit their life. You haven't seen my leg, did you? It's like a ballerina or something. People don't like to bow down and submit their life to a master. Especially men. Right? Some ladies, but most men, they don't like that concept. If you feel that you may have something there, try getting on your knees, right? A lot of men don't get on their knees to pray. Years I went where I wouldn't get on my knees. It was just kind of, I don't know, at the beginning of being saved. If you feel like you got some pride issues there, get on your knees with your wife. Some men really struggle with that. You don't have to. It's not. But it's just a. It's one of those things if you want to test your pride on that. I'm just talking to the men, right, guys? Right, ladies? Okay. Paul reminds us in all of his writings that we are not our own and we are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Here it is. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20 goes on to say this, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm going to be honest with you. I was studying this for about a week now, a little over a week. And when I read this scripture, you know, preparing for today, it's like the Holy Spirit just shot me right in the chest with an arrow. And that's why I joined gym. You might sound that's kind of funny, but Lena and I went and joined the gym because I need to start taking care of my body and start to eat right. And the Holy Spirit convicted me right there, right? Here it is, plain and simple, isn't it? I don't need to play around with this body anymore. I want to preach to him, at least Brother Earl's age, right? He's amazing, isn't he? We saw him, anyway, yeah, just He's chugging, man. Keep chugging on. Paul is a bondservant of Christ Jesus, bought, and he owns him. It also means that this living Christ, the living Christ, because Paul's talking about the Christ is alive now, he's risen from the dead. This living Christ rules him. He is the ruler of Paul. Galatians 1:10, right? Galatians 1:10. Here's Paul, he's saying, "For do I now persuade men or God?" You know, he's being a little sarcastic with him. He says, "Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant." So here's Paul saying, you know, I'm pleasing God. I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm spending time with the Lord, and I'm here to please God. I'm not here to please men. That's what Paul is saying right there in that scripture. In other words, being a bondservant of Christ means utter submission. It means submission to please God and not to please men. Now, second thing. Second point. God called Paul to be an apostle. And we've talked about that many times in the last two or three weeks. And we know that it means, you know, in the Greek there, it means one who's carrying a mission, right? One with a mission. And Paul definitely had a mission. I mean, so Paul says that he is not only a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but he's also called to be an apostle. Now, he is not only bought and owned, he's not only ruled, everybody with me? He's bought, owned, and ruled, but he's also called. He's called to be a bondservant. Now, in Paul's mind, let me just read this to you right where I got my notes. In Paul's mind, to be an apostle was to be a person who had seen Jesus Christ risen from the dead so that he could go give a first-hand testimony, and who had been commissioned and authorized by Christ to represent him and speak for him and provide a foundation. Everybody say foundation. To provide a foundation for his church. This is what Jesus is doing. And he wanted this foundation to be in truth and have someone with authoritative teaching, first-hand experience. Now, we all know that Paul, you know, met Jesus on where? The road to Damascus, right? And Jesus called him into the ministry there. Got to look at 1 Corinthians 15:7-8. 1 Corinthians 15:7-8 real quick. It's Paul saying, after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then at last, he was seen by me also. Here's Paul saying, he was seen by me also. And this is the key right here. Y'all listen to this. As by, this is still the scripture, verse 8. I'm going to start over. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. As by one born out of due time. See, we look at Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is when Jesus called him. Jesus says to him, Jesus said to Paul in Acts 26, 16, he said, "Rise and get up. Get on your feet." Jesus says, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you." Wow. That's had to have been amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, the Bible talks about immediately he was called. And with this commission, Paul became one of the founders of Christianity. Now, guys, we're still in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, okay? We're looking at this one scripture, and the Bible says that Paul was one of the founders of Christianity. It talks about it in Ephesians 2:20, this foundation, okay? Ephesians 2:20, he says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, as the what? The cornerstone. He himself was the cornerstone. Now, we can ask today, okay, what really is the foundation of the apostles today in the life of a church, the life of the ministry, the life of Pauline Baptist Church? Where's the apostles' foundation here with us at Pauline? I can tell you, it's in the holy writings that they left behind, that the Holy Spirit moved and breathed through these godly men into what we call the New Testament. We're going through the Old Testament on Wednesday night, so if y'all want to come and continue studying about Joseph and the coat of many colors, that's my commercial. Wednesday night. I'm enjoying it. Anybody enjoying it? Really going through the life of Joseph on Wednesday night? But this New Testament, these holy writings that's left behind with the apostles, and among these of the New Testament, there's none like the book of Romans. Man, they're all great, wonderful, word-inspired, Word of God. I love the book of Romans. If you've never really done a really in-depth study of Romans, I encourage you to get you a good, you know, commentary and go along with it. But it's awesome. The book of Romans is simply the great biblical summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation, with Christ being at the cornerstone. You see, the Holy Spirit moved through Paul to pen the book of Romans as the message of the church. And it was not, everybody say not. It was not from man. It was from Christ. It was from God. It's all about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians, it was from God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as a word from men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, this is the scripture, which also effectively works in you who believe. Wow, you really study that scripture right there. 1 Corinthians, we go to 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And it compares spiritual things with spiritual. Amen? See, third and last thing. Paul was set apart for the gospel of God. For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says that he not only is a bondservant of Jesus Christ, he's not only called to be an apostle, right, guys? But he's also set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which brings us into Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. This is the whole next little 4 or 5 minutes here is really precious to me. It says, Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me, this is Paul talking now, okay? But when it pleased God who separated me in my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Wow. You guys, this means that Paul was bought as a slave. And before he was called on the road to Damascus, and before he was even born, God set him apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. Which means that God did not just look around and try to fill this ministry slot. He didn't say, oh, you know what? That guy over there, he looks promising. I might could work with him. But no. Oh, this guy over here, he's got a little rough areas, but I think I can fix him, straighten him right up. Right? Oh, I see that guy. He's a great preacher and teacher, but maybe. No, God didn't do that. When Paul was in his mother's womb, God called him. Called him. Even in his mother's womb. Which is really amazing, isn't it? Because of all of what God did, you know, from the mother's womb to the road to Damascus, everything that happened, all the persecution of the church, everything that went on that Paul did. I mean, God knew that was going to happen. But God showed His grace and His mercy, and God had a bigger plan. He called him in his mother's womb and knew that he was going to be the preacher and one of the founders of his church. And he called him. And God showed mercy and grace. And Jesus showed up on that road to Damascus, you know. See, God didn't leave all this to chance. The founding of his church, he didn't leave it to chance. He had it planned out. He's sovereign. He set him apart at birth, purchased him by the death of his son, and called him effectively, here's this word again, called him effectively on the road to Damascus. See, guys, the book of Romans is really about God. You know, we can look at Romans 1, chapter 1, and we can think, well, this is about Paul, you know, and him being an apostle. No. Every verse, every scripture, everything in that book of Romans is all about God. It's about the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son. God brought him by the death of his Son and called him to be an apostle and a messenger and a founder of the church. And he did all that because of you and me. And the gospel of Jesus Christ. Allow me to quote Dr. Leon Morris, which I didn't even know who he was until I was studying this, you know. Dr. Leon Morris, a famous 20th century theologian from England. And this is what he said about the book of Romans. He said, God is the most important word in this epistle. Romans is a book about God. No topic is treated with anything like the frequency of God. Everything Paul touches in this letter, he relates to God. He says, in our concern to understand what the apostle is saying about righteousness and justification and the like, we ought not to overlook his tremendous concentration on God Almighty. There is nothing like it elsewhere. Unquote. And I agree with this man big time. This is why the book of Romans has had such an effect on thousands and thousands and thousands of people throughout the ages. Because it is from God. And it is through God. And it's to God. God chose the author before he was born. God purchased his freedom by the death of his son. Amen. God called him to be an apostle. So God, when you look at the book of Romans, you see that God is at the beginning. And God is at the end. God is at the top and the bottom. And God's all in the middle of the book of Romans. And since we are dedicated as a church, as Pauline Baptist, to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe it's fitting. I believe it's time that we try our best to meet God in the book of Romans. And I believe that God has chosen us. And He has called us as a church. He has set us apart as a church. to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a good, strong, long look at the book of Romans. So I ask you to pray with me as we take this look in the book of Romans. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, Father. I thank you for the good news. Lord, it's very obvious why Paul was such a man of passion, because he knew that he had good news. Father, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know you, I ask that during this song of invitation that they would come down so they could meet the Savior, our Master, our Lord, and our King, and our Friend, and our Comforter, and our Guide, our Ruler, our Creator. Lord, Father, we pause for a minute. We recognize and we humble ourselves, Lord, that you are the potter and we are the clay. We can't even take our next breath without you. And we think we got this all figured out and under control. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for our arrogance and pride. Forgive us for our... Just forgive us for our sins, Lord. We are sinners, saved by grace, in desperate need of your mercy. Lord, if there's one here this morning who'd like to join the church, that would be great. We'd love that. Lord, if there's anybody here who'd like to be baptized, Lord, we just trust you that you'll guide them and give them direction. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.